As we continue our series on spiritual disciplines, today's topic is surrender. Woohoo!
My least favorite word in the English language.
Yeah, I think we all feel that way. Thankfully, Barb is so wise and fun that she's still helping us to take the ouch out of spiritual disciplines.
That she is.
Today, Barb discusses how to let go of all the residual angst from 2020. Oh, the residual angst from 2020, otherwise known as the year of extra. There's a lot to release.
Oh, is there ever? Now, friends, listen up. Barb shares the best idea I have ever heard for letting go of control and surrendering to God's hope and peace.
So here's the deal. We recorded Barb weeks ago, maybe months ago, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been chewing on that idea that you'll have to wait for and sharing it like crazy with friends ever since. But we can't wait to share it with you today, listening friend.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're talking with Barb Bruce, author of Surrendered, 40 Devotions to Help You Let Go and Live Like Jesus. Barb Bruce is a speaker and author who is passionate about teaching women to live beautifully strong and courageous so that they experience God's adventure of faith and purpose for their lives. She enjoys teaching and encouraging women at conferences and retreats across the country, as well as internationally. Barb is the author of 5 Bible studies and 3 books, including titles such as Surrendered, Letting Go, and Living Like Jesus, Joshua, Winning the Worry Battle, and her new Bible study coming this April 2021 titled Breakthrough, Finding Freedom in Christ. She also writes a regular blog at barbruce.com and hosts Better Together Live through Facebook. Barb is a proud empty nest mom with 3 adult daughters. She loves reading and traveling, and whenever possible, she'd prefer to eat dessert first.
So Barb, I just have to say, you had me at the dedication page of your Surrendered Devo. It literally says, you can let go. It will be okay. God is with you every step of the way. First of all, it just made me want to cry. It was so beautiful. And it also rhymes. There's just something so comforting about something that rhymes. You can let go. It will be okay. God is with you every step of the way. What a great way to begin.
There are 3 main sections of the book. And the first one is letting go of circumstances. It includes things like letting go of worrying, letting go of fixing, letting go of overthinking.
The second section is letting go of others. So just a few examples would be letting go of nagging, letting go of struggling adult children, letting go of people pleasing.
Okay. And then to pile this on top of that, letting go of attitudes and expectations is the last section, with things like letting go of entitlement, letting go of envy, and letting go of perfectionism.
Okay, so I think Barb just wrote this entire Devo for you and me and all of our friends who are listening. One of the things I love about the format of this is that every Devo has a quote that's, you know, just kind of in bigger print. And as I was reading through, one that jumped out at me that just met me where I was at: God can do more in an instant than you can do in a lifetime, and he doesn't need your help. I'm going to print that out and put that on my mirror.
That's some powerful stuff for an Enneagram 2. And then for my Enneagram 1 self, this is what jumped out at me. Whatever you're using to control others will eventually begin to control you. Ooh. And I had this oh, wow. Oh, ouch. moment when I just reading that.
So each devotional ends with a prayer that you can personalize by filling in the blanks with the specific letting go situation you're in that day. I love that feature, being able to kind of customize it.
Absolutely. So here we go. It's time to finally share this interview, but poor Barb, she has to deal a little with my heckling first. So Barb, you kicked our tushy so hard during our last interview that we just had to have you back for more. Okay, Sherry wrote that, and I'm wondering, are we masochists, or do we just need to learn some more? I think it's the latter.
Hey, you're the one who uses the expression, ooh, that hurts so good.
That's right. That's right. We needed some more for sure. So after your Bible study titled Surrendered, why did you write a 40-day devotional book?
Well, it was back in the days of stay at home during the pandemic, and apparently there was more I didn't have control over.
Yes, we all lost control.
We did. And the actual content itself for the Surrender Devotional was really an opportunity for me to have to really test and believe, did I believe that letting go and surrender was really true? Because I had just written the Bible study and it was out, but back during the quarantine when we were all collectively grappling with the lack of control and the wilderness season across our world, that devotional really was an opportunity to go, it doesn't matter what is happening around us, including the most life-changing event of our time, surrender is still the path to peace.
So good. Yes, I think we needed another dose for sure.
Oh, yeah. So Barb, could you review these 5 control-loving behaviors? So I was hoping that you could review those for Amy's sake.
Oh, really? For Amy's sake?
I'm a generous friend like that.
You are. And so for everyone who's listening, this is all about Amy right now, but we're going to do it anyways. But yeah, there are 5. I've grouped our control loving efforts. And when we say control loving, I don't say control freak because I don't believe that we should be defined by the thing that we struggle with. And so control loving is a behavior versus an identity. So shine, S-H-I-N-E, S stands for stonewalling. That's when we dig our heels in. The H stands for helicoptering or micromanaging, hovering over people. The I stands for interrupting. That's whether you do it with words or you interfere with someone's life. The N stands for nagging. And like I said before, I don't even need to define that. And the E stands for excessive planning or stockpiling, where we just gather up everything because we don't want to be uncomfortable.
All right. I'm over here taking notes.
For me.
For myself. All right. So we sometimes love going into true confessions. So which shine button or buttons did 2020 push extra hard for you? Like, do you have a really good story that you could share with us that kind of illustrates it in action?
I do. You know how we all have the stories we can tell and the stories where Jesus is still working? So there is a story where Jesus is working, and it's a big deal because it's about one of my kids and my kids like their privacy. And so the one story I can tell, that surrender principle number one is I am not in control of others or outcomes. And so in the fall of 2020, my youngest daughter boomeranged back into my empty nest. And for any empty nesters out there, when you get used to it, you get used to it. She was in nursing school, and nursing school is pretty tough. And at the end of her lease, I said, you can come back and stay for a few weeks. And well, while she was in nursing school, let's just say that she has a different way of doing things than what I think that she should do them. So I have a Bible study and a book all about letting go of control and not controlling others or outcomes. And my goodness, I spent a week walking around my apartment staring at her while she was asleep, because I thought she should be up and doing stuff. And then when she would, like, her things were laying around, and I was like, I want to talk about that too. And I wanted to nag a little bit. And then I wanted to interfere because she didn't study when I thought she studied. And so I basically went through all of the shines. And some of those things, I was like, well, huh. Look at me. I wrote a book and a Bible study, and I still have to work on this.
We are all works in progress for sure. And there's nothing like writing a book to guarantee you will have to live it again.
That's God's sense of humor for everybody who is a writer.
I am willing to bet you are not the only mother of an adult child who has boomeranged back home, who has struggled with some of these things during this unprecedented time. I mean, are you in conversation with others who are saying that they're dealing with some of the same issues?
Absolutely. In the Surrender Devotional, as well as the study, there's sections about dealing with adult children. This is a thing. And even for mothers who are dealing with teenagers, at whatever point our children begin to make up their own mind about lives, there is a struggle there. Or there is a struggle with a best friend. So maybe it's not about a child, but it's about anybody that we love, and we see them living in a way where we think they're in danger, it triggers all of our control-loving desires because we want to protect what we love, fix what's broken, and my goodness, we want to keep everybody on the track we think is right for them. So that's where we've got to stop and ask those hard questions of going, am I trying to control somebody? do I need to let go?
Really, really good. Yeah. Sherry and I both have boomeranging children. So we're right there with you.
Well, and all of your explanations just now were so generous. The truth for me is usually, yeah, I don't want to experience the pain from the consequences of their choices.
Absolutely. And that is the hardest part. We don't want to experience the pain. And when we visited together before, I shared for me, that's a lot of my surrender journey was I had a loved one who had a severe addiction. And much of my control-loving behavior was because the pain of trying to avoid pain. I didn't want to have to deal with pain. And so letting go for some of us is if we let go and we trust God, then we feel like we're allowing ourselves to be hurt. And what God is saying, it is, that's not the focus. The focus is that He can take care of us and He can heal us and give us hope. And that has to be greater than our fear of hurt.
Powerful.
Thank you. I really needed to hear that today of all days. All right. So was there a particular shine button that was a big one for you in 2020 or from the scenario you just described to us? Was it like all of them at once?
I believe that 2020, it was an extra year. It was extra. So I'm going to say that, we're going to just say all of the buttons got pushed. It was a full year of extra. How about everybody else? Anybody else feel it was a little extra?
Amen.
I'm imagining the shine buttons being like piano keys where somebody just came and went slam with all fingers on all keys and just kept going blam, 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 blam. That was the music of 2020.
That's perfect. Yes.
You know, the thing about going into a new year is we often think of turning over a new leaf and starting fresh. So do you have any contenders as to which of the shine buttons that you think might be a leading issue going into 2021?
In my world, the I is always one that I am praying about interrupting. And my personality type, I'm an Enneagram 3 that looks a little like an 8. A lot like an 8, which means that I like to get things done and I love to influence people to get done what I want them to get done. So interrupting is something that I always have to be aware of. And James 1:19 about being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, I really do need to have that tattooed on me in multiple places. So that's the one that I pray about most often because I really want God to use me so that people can see that He loves and cares about them through me. And that's hard to do when you're always interrupting them.
I love it. You know, and I love the idea of really focusing on, I mean, obviously listening to how the Holy Spirit leads, but to go into a year knowing that there's one to kind of keep an eye on. I'll have to ponder which one that would be for me.
Barb, please remind Sherry of your 6 surrender principles.
I love how you two just show up for each other.
I mean, we're in it together, man.
She always has my best interest at heart.
Absolutely. Well, the 6 surrender principles, these were our guides. These are tools because control loving is a practice. The more we do it, the better we are at it. And so letting go or surrender, giving over to God, we need to establish a practice as well. And so these surrender tools help to establish the practice. And so they're not steps, but rather they're tools and reminders based on the truth of who God is. So here they are. Number one, surrender principle number one is I am not in control of others or outcomes. Surrender principle number two is I choose to live by faith, not rush to follow my feelings. There's nothing wrong with feelings. It's just when we rush to follow them, we might get things a little twisted. Number three, I love this one. I can always let go and give my problems to God. Have either of you ever prayed, given something to God, and then taken it back? Has that ever happened?
Maybe.
Amy does that all the time.
So that surrender principle frees us from the guilt of doing that. We can go, you know what, we're just going to give it back to God again. Surrender principle number four is trusting God's promises will bless me, but pushing my plans will stress me. Surrender principle number five is when fear tempts me to flee, fix, or force my way, I will choose to stop and pray. And then the last one, surrender principle number six, this was actually the very first surrender principle that I created while we were living in our family's addiction issue. For years, I carried this principle and then the other ones followed later. And so for those of you listening today and you are dealing with something that is far out of your control, I hope that this brings you peace today. And it is this, that surrender is my only path to God's peace, power, and provision.
Those are so powerful. And you're such an amazing communicator. I always think that you've made them so memorable for us. So how can these principles help us navigate the early months of 2021 with intentionality, love, and grace? We want to change from 2020.
We all do. And the journey of that, I love Philippians 1:6, especially for those of us who do struggle with control-loving issues, because we beat ourselves up when we look at the people that we love that we're trying to fix and they're not happy, and we beat ourselves up. And I love Philippians 1:6. It says, God who began a good work in us will continue it to completion. So God's not going to give up on you as you are working through this. And what I do for myself is my control loving, when I feel a shine behavior coming on, that's my indicator that I need to think about those 6 surrender principles. So when I feel like stonewalling, helicoptering, interrupting, nagging, or excessive planning, I go, okay, Barb, which surrender principle do you need to remind yourself of right now? So my struggle is my trigger to use a tool.
That's so good. We've talked a lot about red flags. So the shine part, those are the red flags that you need to implement one of these surrendering tools. Fantastic.
So good. All right. Now, I am utterly fascinated by this next concept. What is your annual funeral?
Well, it's something that saved my life, which sounds crazy, but it saved my life. It was well over a decade ago that I began going to counseling, because at the time, one of my children was diagnosed with ADHD and Asperger's, and I couldn't change it. So I began going to counseling because I was just really angry and upset that I couldn't fix her. So the counselor, he kind of made me aware that I had expectations that were unhealthy. Does anyone else carry unhealthy expectations in their lives?
Like a backpack.
And so those expectations were weighing me down, and they were stressing me out, and they were also making me very angry. So the annual funeral, it's a space and time where I give myself opportunity to, there's 3 parts. There is the being real with God, with how I feel. I would tell God about what I hoped for, what I expected, what I dreamed about. And so I'm real with how I feel. 2 is that I would write them down. I would write out those expectations about what I thought was going to happen and how I thought, what I wanted to experience. And the 3 was I would release. I would have to say, God, these are the things that I wanted, the things that I hoped for, the things that I dreamed about, the things that I thought would bring me joy, and they are not going to happen. And so, God, I need to let these go. I need to bury these dreams so that you can bring forth something new in their place. And I began to do that 2x a year. And the reason why it saved my life was because I was married for 26 years. And throughout the course of that addiction trauma, there were lots of expectations and hopes and dreams that I had to let go of. I had to bury them, or else I was going to become very bitter. And every spring and every fall, I would sit by this river in my community on a blanket, and I would do the be real, the write down, and the release, and I would cry it out before God. And what I discovered was, as I released and surrendered, that God was able to plant his peace and his hope. I was able to go forward in new dreams, even as some of the things that I wanted did not turn out as I hoped.
Barb, how do you ask God to disconnect your past from influencing your life now?
That's the question of forgiveness. People define forgiveness in all kinds of ways, but that was inspired by Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul is talking about living in joy. And so forgiveness is when we disconnect the effect of our past from influencing our future, because when we're living in the past and we're holding on to it, there's that saying, what forms you follows you. And all of us have faced things that have happened that have hurt us, that have kept us stuck, that are keeping us from moving forward. That is a process. When we sit and we just say, you know what, God, I can't, but you can, and I will let you. And so we do not have to get through whatever it is that you need to forgive. It may not be instantaneous, but it is the willingness to say, God, I do not want what happened to me before to influence my future. I want you to be the influence of my future, God.
Wow. That's another powerful picture of surrender and the power of surrender. Instead of, we can't white knuckle our way through forgiveness. We can just participate with what God can do.
So why is it so hard to trust God to take care of us when he specifically promises that is what he will do? You know, many of our listeners are like Amy and me. We got all the gold stars for when we had our memory verses when we were younger. So we know all of this stuff. Why is it so hard to put it into practice in our daily lives?
Well, I think that the hardest part, especially for those of us living here in first world America, and this is one of the blessings of the pandemic, was that we were not in the position to take care of ourselves. And yet God took care of us. I have a favorite story, and it's in the devotional and in the Surrendered Bible Study, and it's Exodus chapter 16 of the Israelites in the wilderness right after they came out of slavery. And you can go back and read that chapter, but in essence, the Israelites were complaining, and God, even as they're complaining, he says, I am going to send you food from heaven. Now, they are complaining, and he says he's going to send it. And so one of the big pictures is that God is faithful even when we were unfaithful. And then so God sends food from heaven, manna. Here's the thing. This is what's so fun for me. Kind of like our life during the pandemic. So when the manna came down, they did not have to go to the grocery store to get it. They didn't need Kroger click list. Mom didn't need to put the kids in the minivan. The food showed up right where they were at. They did not need paycheck number one. And that, I believe that many of us have experienced, where we saw God taking care of us in a situation in life when we had little control over taking care of ourselves. And God took care of them for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. He provided manna. And that, for us, is the same God who is taking care of us today. Because the truth and the reality is that we did go through that quarantine, that stay at home, but we all have situations in life when we cannot provide what we need, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, whatever that is. But God, he can provide, and he will provide as long as we need it.
So, so very true.
Barb, what are some of the things that we need to let go of in our lives, especially at the start of a new year? And tell us, what are the steps to do that, to let go?
Well, letting go for me always begins with just stepping back and going, you know what? What is it that I need to open my hands and hold more lightly? Anything I'm holding on tight to, anything that is stressing me out, anything that's keeping me sleepless at night, that's the indicator that I need to let go of it. So that's the first sign. What's keeping you up? What's on your thoughts? So if it's finances, if it's a relationship, if it's one of your kids that won't straighten up and fly right, if it's your job, if it's a friendship, whatever it is that's stressing you out, that's what you need to let go of. And letting go, for me, I try to keep it simple. I sit there with my hands open and I say, God, I have to surrender this to you. I am not in control of others or outcomes. I need to let go of my expectations, and I have to trust that you love me, that you are with me and you are for me, and that you will give me everything I need. I'm going to put this situation in your hands. I sometimes have to do that a couple of times for the same situation, but it is the process of recognizing what it is that's stressing us out, and then choosing to open our hands and let go of it.
Do you actually do that physically?
Yes, I do, honey. Yes, I do.
There is something about that, isn't there? Like doing something physical that cements it. I look at the festivals of the Old Testament. I think God made us that way. He wired us that way.
Yeah, because that visual of opening our hands, there is something about the mind-body connection. And we can visually see that thing in our hand or that person. And it is, at times, it can feel painful to physically open your hands because the symbolism is so strong. But I think that's also what makes it so effective.
I agree. Because I think sometimes I'll be like, well, I need to surrender this. Okay, Lord. In my mind, I'm like, okay, Lord, I surrender this. But it feels like it's just another thought. Like it's an idea rather than actually something I've done.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you sharing the kinesthetic and verbal and multisensory, I guess, approach to doing it. So Barb, this has all been so incredibly valuable. What closing words do you have to motivate our listeners who want to let go and live like Jesus?
I am so grateful that I have been able to hang out with you and everyone listening. My encouragement, it comes in the form of what we call the wilderness ABCs. And so friends, if you're listening today, and this is the surrender journey that you know you need to lead, you are not in it alone. And so the surrender ABCs are A, that God always loves you. You are never alone. B, is that you can believe that God is with you and for you. And C, is to challenge yourself to trust God and let go. He will not let you down.
He will not let me down. Whew. I can just feel my shoulders settling. I can feel myself exhaling. Amazing. Just amazing.
Yes. Well, Barb said exactly what I need as I continue to process 2020, the year of extra. But, you know, just hearing her say it, it's really true that even in the hard places, God never once let me down, even in the disappointments that were present.
Yeah. And you know, Barb's annual funeral is seriously the best idea I have ever heard for really and truly putting surrender into action.
You know, I am such a believer in these physical rituals, like what she called us to. I think back to the Old Testament, and God loved physical rituals too. He put all these rituals and festivals into place in the Old Testament. So he has actually wired us to respond to those kinds of physical rituals. And I just love that she's given me something new to do with those disappointments and heartbreaks.
So true. Well, friend, we sure hope that you've enjoyed listening to episode 215 of Grit and Grace, the podcast, as much as we've enjoyed making it for you.
And we want to say a big thank you to Barb Bruce, author of Surrendered, 40 Devotions to Help You Let Go and Live Like Jesus, and her publisher, Abingdon Press, for making this episode possible.
This Devo is so packed with practical wisdom and useful reminders. It's a great way to start the morning, and if or when your thoughts or feelings start to stray, you can pick it back up throughout the day.
Check out our webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode215. There you'll find our transcript, a link to Barb Bruce's book, Surrendered, 40 Devotions to Help You Let Go and Live Like Jesus, and a link to Barb Bruce's website.
If you're not yet a member of our Facebook group, we would love to have you join us. Just search for Grit and Grace the Community and you'll find us.
Next week, we'll be talking with Melissa Spolstra, author of The Names of God, His Character Revealed.
For today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on. So take it.